everybody. It's They Come to America again. We're here with Brendan, and our guest this week is Derek Grant. We are going to talk about the state that brought you, or the state made famous by the Vermont teddy bear, Vermont.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes. So,
So Derek is known as a highly proficient drummer in bands such as the Alkaline Trio and the Suicide Machines back in the day. That's when I met Derek, when we were just wee lads. I think I was 16 and you were 15, even something like that.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Quite a long time ago. But hi, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I don't really do, I've done one other podcast and it was talking about AI generated music, which is something I have no qualification to talk about. likewise, I lived in Vermont for about 4 years, so I'm not really qualified to talk about Vermont, but I will do my best to represent the state in some manner.
Holy shit. I went through Vermont for 17 hours and I'm going to talk about it. So I think you're good.
Hey, that's all good. Yeah. Actually, interestingly enough, the first and for the longest time, the only time that I had been to Vermont was with the Suicide Machines. And that was just playing a show back in 94 or something or 95. And then I don't think I went back there until I met my ex-wife and she was from there. So that's how I got involved, but it's a wonderful place.
Well, that's great. And you know what, with that in mind, we should probably get into some facts about Vermont.
Yeah, totally. Vermont teddy bears.
Yes.
They're expensive, right? I mean, famous.
Yeah. 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 It's a big deal. I'm not real familiar, but I would drive by their factory on the way to, Burlington and, they have a giant teddy bear out in front by the road. Ooh. And I knew quite a few people that worked there. And okay, here's an interesting thing. And I didn't think about this until just now. I believe the person that I knew that worked there, I think worked in the call center, taking orders. And if I remember correctly, she would get a certain amount of breathy guys calling, asking about the details of what kind of underwear, clearly just masturbating on the phone, talking about what does the seasonal bear have? Oh, okay. It's got a skirt. What's under the skirt?
That's amazing.
Wow.
So yeah. And I'm almost positive that was the story. The details might be a little fuzzy, but yes, that is a fact that exists. And of course it's going to be channeled towards, Vermont teddy bears. Cause it's, probably the most famous teddy bear manufacturer in the States, at least.
Creme de la creme of teddy bears. Yeah.
Only the best for me.
Yeah. This leads me to my first fact of Vermont, which I wasn't even thinking of until you just started talking. Coat factory. They have a coat factory in Vermont.
Oh yeah. Is that, that's that Burlington coat factory?
I have no
idea. No, I think that's a Midwestern thing.
Hey, we're sticking to the facts here. No, definitely Vermont.
Okay.
I don't know. I never saw a Burlington Coat Factory in Vermont, but I don't know.
It's just called Coat Factory.
But there is Ben & Jerry's. I mean, Ben & Jerry's is probably right up there with Vermont Teddy Bear as far as popular exports there.
Mm-hmm.
So
heard of it.
Yeah. And Vermont also, it's a really little known fact, home to Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Well, and Bernie, interestingly enough, Bernie Sanders and his wife Jane were responsible in large part for the the first and only punk venue in Vermont.
Really?
Bernie's wife Jane opened a youth center, I think, in the early 80s when he was mayor of Burlington. It was called 242 Main. And I think maybe for a year or two, it was just a normal youth center, just, programs for, different activities and whatnot. But then they started letting bands play there. And I know Fugazi played there. Operation Ivy played there.
Damn.
I think maybe the Misfits, it would have been towards the end of their run, but with the original band. But yeah, it was a big deal. And I think they just closed 242 Main maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So it had a good run. Bernie and his wife's, doing.
Yeah, so there is definitely like a good chance that like Bernie Sanders has been standing there while Waiting Room is being played live. It seems like
actually Fugazi, I think, has posted, you know, they've got, I think, a huge like online archive of their live recordings and stuff. And I know that there's some recordings from their shows in Vermont and some photos as well, where if you search online for, you know, information, if you type in Bernie Sanders punk, I'm sure there'll be a bunch of articles that'll come up. And I think most of them use this picture of Fugazi in the venue. And yeah, it's very possible that he could have been doing sound or running the bar.
Yeah, that's such a meme waiting to happen.
Kind of does look
there's like probably no bar at the youth center. I'm sorry.
He does look like a sound guy. Marty, do you have any facts about Vermont?
You know, I don't know much about Vermont. I mean, I drove through it once, but you know, they're real famous for cheese also, right? You know,
that's they got good cheese.
Yeah.
White cheddar. It's either Wisconsin or Vermont. That's where like everything comes from in the States, right?
Most cheese actually comes from California by like a huge margin, but Vermont and Wisconsin get nothing else. They have nothing else going for them.
Totally. So they slap that on everything. Hey,
you know, oddly enough, I never heard anybody in Vermont badmouth Wisconsin. Or Wisconsin cheese, but I can't say that it was. Yeah, Wisconsin never came up in conversation. I don't know if people in Vermont are aware that Wisconsin exists. I don't know. Vermont's a weird place like that. It's never very much a bubble for a lot of people that live there, who you know have lived their whole lives. Their generations of their family have been there, and you know, I've met a lot of people there that had never even traveled so much as just going out of the state. You know, and they were fine with that. They were happy with that. You know. I think there's a certain beauty in that, you know, that might seem to most people to be sort of sad or depressing or whatever. But like, yeah, most people seem very content, you know, a lot of farmers and, you know, that's their life.
Over 30 cheesemakers per capita.
Well,
so it seems like they're.
Wait, 30 per capita? So there's 30 for every guy? Seems like kind of a high number.
Highest number of cheesemakers per capita. Over 30 of them.
I don't know that that's.
Maybe that's 30 in the whole state, and that just makes it, you know.
But yeah, I think 30 per capita. I don't know. You know, fucking. I'm no big city actuary, but that seems like a weird statement. But does anybody have any more facts about Vermont? Another one about your flower. I know your flower.
Precious flower that keeps coming up. What is it even called again? The
it's called King your Arthur? Virginity. Your precious flower.
Yeah, my precious flower.
What is this flower? What are we, I'm not. Is this a running thing on the show? On the
No. King Arthur's flower is from Vermont.
And oh yeah, yeah. I've been to the factory, man. I took the tour. They got a gift shop. No, it's amazing. It's really what awesome.
They sell at the gift shop?
Bags of flour.
Honestly, you can buy every kind of flour that you ever want. Baking things to bake with. baked goods. It's actually a pretty. I don't know. It was more interesting than I can do justice. So. But speaking of King Arthur flour, Ted Bundy was born. There's no connection there. Ted Bundy's from Vermont. Gigi Allen grew up in Vermont. Yeah, it's a breeding ground for weirdos.
Sure sounds like it. But I mean, there is nothing that I was about to say, like, who's the funniest person you can imagine working the gift shop at the King Arthur Flower Factory? And yeah. Gigi Allen probably is the answer.
I think there's if I remember right, Gigi was he was there like in his, I think he moved there when he was 11, and I think he was there through his teens. Like, I don't know if you see the pictures of Gigi, like in high school, where he's got the long hair and the glasses. I think he's wearing like a blouse or something like that. But that was all Vermont. And I think he was a janitor or something somewhere. I think there's some public record of him being fired or something. There's some, you know, there's some documents online of his, you know, relatively normal years there. But he may have worked at King Arthur's Flower, or he may have taken phone orders at Vermont Teddy Bear. Or he may have called the department. I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going with this.
No, it's great. So I guess that will probably conclude the facts section. We've already nailed more facts than I expected we were going to have. So we're killing it.
Impressive.
Yeah. So we should start. So Derek, the way the next round is going to be the story time round, and you as the Vermont expert, I guess, will go third. Okay. So we will.
Start. Yeah, I'll need to think as. Think of something here.
Yeah, yeah. Just think of something. But like, once you hear our stories, you'll realize the very high
bar is low.
To clear for it to be.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Why don't you kick it off, Brennan?
Me? Okay. Sure. So when I was a youth, I was in a band called Slapstick. We were a ska punk band, not dissimilar to the Suicide Machines. Except for the, you know, we had horns and we broke up really fast and we we're not still around, which is great. But the thing is that we played a show in Vermont one time. And
you remember where you played?
I don't, but Bernie Sanders was there.
Well, there was another venue called Club Toast that I think was
oh, that's exactly where we played. That's 100% where we played, Club Toast. Cool. Yeah. And so we showed up and we're at the venue and we're playing with H2O. Famed hardcore legends, H2O, friends of the show, and they're just such dicks to us, right? Like they like wouldn't look at us, wouldn't fucking talk to us. I mean, and we were just like young kids, and we were probably like being like snotty little shits, and like I hold nothing against anyone, but like I just remember at the time being like these fucking guys, and And then we look up at the marquee and it says, you know, it's like H2O and they're on tour with like, I don't know, like fucking, you know, like one of those like fucking like Tub Ring or some shit like that, you know, Meat Wagon, you know, like one of those bands. Yeah. That, like you remember seeing the name around forever, but like you never heard. And then the opening band was called Plastic. And we were like, how come our name's not on the marquee? And they were like, that's you. You're Plastic.
Oh, no.
And we were like, no, we're called Slapstick. And they're like, okay, well, you know, I don't know.
It's you're too Plastic
late.
Tonight.
Yeah, too late to change the marquee. And so, like, we're just fucking fit to be tied this entire fucking time. And we go out and we play. And I don't even remember us being on stage at all. It was, you know, unmemorable show.
Yeah.
But I do remember that H2O, when they played, they did this fucking thing that, power to them. I don't know those guys at all. We have a lot of mutual friends, but it was so fucking nerdy. They would like finish a song and they would freeze like in like the Chinese terracotta statue game or whatever, you know, they just freeze. And then they'd start again and they'd play the next song. And they did that between like every song. And it was so relentlessly dorky.
Well, that's performance art now, isn't it? That's elevating. That's transcending hardcore and taking it to like mime.
Yeah. It really is a step up. But yeah, so I remember that Vermont was very nice and there was a lot of like cobbled sidewalks, things of that nature. And I remember seeing a Ben and Jerry's and I was like, ooh, but I lived kind of by a Ben and Jerry's. I actually had worked at a Ben and Jerry's by that point. So it wasn't really that impressive.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting thing. It is a big deal in Burlington to go to the Ben and Jerry's store. Which is again just like any other Ben and Jerry's across the country or whatever, but I don't want to get into facts here. I was going to say if you go to the factory tour or whatever, just like it's even better than the King Arthur Flower tour, I'll tell you, because they have a graveyard. They actually have a cemetery of their old flavors. Yeah, like yeah, they're discontinued flavors.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like it's like.
So I'm sorry to get. I'm working back. We're back into facts. Move forward.
Ben's penis. No, that one.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my story. There you go. See, I told you the level of, the fluency in Vermont was going to be very high.
The funny thing about your story is, and I was about halfway through, I really thought that this was going to kind of work out. My ex-wife swore that she, at some point while we were dating, she was like, oh yeah, I saw Dan's band play back in the day in Burlington at Club Toast. And I was like, oh, you did? And she goes, yeah, Slapshot. And I was like, no, Slapstick. So Slapshot was a hardcore band from New England. So I was thinking maybe it was true that she thought you guys were billed as Slapshot with H2O, which would have made sense.
Right.
And it was just, my mind was a blown.
No, but here's the thing. She very much could have just, once we were like, we're Slapstick, she could have very much been at the show and been like, oh yeah, Slapshot, because that was a very common thing that happened to us back in those days, which is funny because Slapshot, weird band. They like carried hockey sticks on stage and like would like fight people with hockey.
Yeah. They were
like
hockey skinhead hardcore guys from Boston. Yeah. It was a weird, weird band.
Just like
they're playing hockey pads. Or
yes,
anything?
They would play in hockey pads. they would, yes. And, yeah. And we're like fucking like the like wispiest little 16-year-old like semi-gay looking punks, and and people are like, oh, so you're Slapshot? And it's like, yeah, we're fucking Slapshot. Yeah, no, we're Plastic.
Actually. Yeah, no, we're going with Plastic tonight.
But
did you own up to it on stage, or were you like, there needs to be a correction? We're Plastic.
I don't remember. I really don't remember, but I feel
the protest
seems like something that you would kind of take over the top and kind of really make the promoter know. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, that definitely happened. That was 100% something that occurred. But I think I don't know that I had like the sort of like stage banter acumen at the time to do anything more than be like, oh, just, we're not called Plastic. We're called Slap. And I was like fucking 18, yeah. So I like, it's not like now.
Yeah.
Where I'd be like, the secret, Marty, it's Plastics, like shit like that, but that's me now. And that's quarantine brain. So,
yeah,
but anyway, do you have a story?
No. The entire reason I started the podcast was to talk about states with people who do know things about them. I've never been to Vermont. And to my recollection, if I have, it was, driving through, which doesn't look very big on the map. So I can't remember anything from Vermont.
Yeah. Well, then, Derek, I think at this point, if I'm not mistaken, it comes to you. And
man, I'm trying to think. He's like, all the stories that are sort of coming to mind are just kind of nice. Like, I don't know, they're just anecdotes. They're not really anything funny or weird.
No, they don't.
Which I'm sure things happen there that I just can't recall.
When did you live there?
I moved there in 2013. And then lived there for about 4 years. My ex-wife and I, we actually moved from Chicago to Vermont, got married and bought a house all in like the same week. It was super stressful and crazy, but we bought like, we had an old, farmhouse. Like we had 21 acres, like in central Vermont, very rural. And the house was built in 1862. I guess, okay, this is kind of maybe sort of interesting. So we moved to Vermont. We had, again, my ex-wife Brenna was from there. She grew up in a hunting cabin on the top of a mountain, just surrounded by forest. She had a really interesting, really cool childhood, like growing up. I, however, grew up in Detroit and then moved to Chicago. I've always lived in cities. And, I had zero outdoor experience. I don't even think I ever went camping when I was younger. So to go to Vermont the first time, after I met Brenna, the first time we went back to Vermont to see her parents, who still live in the same cabin, that she grew up in, I had no idea what to expect, and I was really worried about sort of unplugging and just being in the middle of nowhere and left, you know, with my own thoughts. So I brought like every electronic device I had. I had an iPod and an iPhone and my iPad. And I think I brought like a little recording device, and I brought a guitar, and I was just convinced that I was going to be so miserable the whole time, or so bored the whole time that I was there. Not so much because of the people or whatever, you know, obviously I was looking forward to meeting their parents and stuff, but I was just, there's not going to be anything to do. There's nothing around there. So I got to have all this stuff with me. And I didn't touch any of it the whole time I was there. I mean, it was just such a cool, magical sort of experience being in the middle of woods, you know, 30, 45 minutes from any sort of, you know, town or anything. It was great. So that's what attracted me to the place. So when we decided to move there, we found this house, then we moved there. Again, this was in 2013. We closed down the house, and we were going to get married like a few days later. But Brenna, you know, we kind of wanted to be traditional, I guess, about things. So the idea was that I would live in the house, as you know, I would move in right away, and I would start sort of getting the place set up, and she would stay up on the mountain with her parents until after the wedding, and then she would move in. So it was kind of this, you know, traditional thing. I start moving things around again. This, I had like maybe 2 days before the wedding, and I think it was the day before the wedding, I was walking the grounds, like walking through the yard. And there was a bunch of overgrown, you know, plants, and there were some crops and stuff like that. And I came across a headstone for a little girl in the garden.
Oh,
who died in like in the 1800s or whatever. But I think she died. I think she was like a year old or something like that, according to the dates of the headstone. Mm-hmm. So I saw that, and I was like, oh man, like, I can't tell Brenna because she's gonna, like, the house is haunted. We got to sell the place or whatever. So I was like, I can't tell her before the wedding because it'll ruin the whole thing. So I got to wait until after, and then she's just gonna be crushed.
Please tell me you tore down the headstone.
No. I left it there, but I did wait until after, and I think I waited until after we were technically married. It was still like, it was at the like wedding, you know, reception, which was pretty much in the same spot where we got actually, you know, where the actual marriage took place, where we set our vows. I couldn't wait to tell her, but I was also terrified. But I was like, hey, you know, somebody's buried in our garden. And there might be like a 1-year-old ghost, you know, in the house.
It's like, and, the 1800s. It's like the classic.
She was fine with it. I think we cleansed the place or something, you know, but,
she sent you to the sage store or something.
Oh, it was in the garden already. Actually, her cousin, is a shaman. So, and she was there. She actually presided over the wedding. She married us. So we were pretty good on a energetic sort of spiritual level. We were pretty well taken care of. Brendan's smiling about it. You were smiling about it. As soon as I started talking about magic or, you know, energies or whatever.
Yes. No, it makes me smile. It's good. It's like magic to me.
Yeah, whatever, man. It's real. It was really, we were in good hands, and everything worked out fine. And then I did some research, and I'm pretty sure from the stories I heard for our neighbors, there was like, we lived about a mile from
her. Was a real bitch, you know.
You know, she deserved it. They were pretty sure that one of the previous tenants, this was like in the 1800s, was maybe the groundskeeper at this little cemetery that was around the corner, and that it wouldn't be uncommon, you know, if something got broken, or if he broke something or whatever, and they replaced it wouldn't be uncommon for somebody to keep the broken headstone. So that might have been. I hope that's what it was.
A headstone collector.
Oh, you know, I mean, well,
of sorts.
I tell you what, I think that's a great story. I'm surprised that you said you thought it was maybe kind of interesting.
Because I like that you have.
Well, it blows all the other ones that came to mind out of the water. The other ones were like, oh, I had this great cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's, I mean, it's gotta be, that's such an awesome thing to have your own shaman hookup. It's like, I know a guy who can get me into the show. It's like, oh, we have a dead child in our backyard. It's like, oh, don't worry, I have a shaman. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's an amazing, amazing woman. And she actually just moved back to Vermont, and she's got this whole complex now where, you know, they do a lot of energy work. People, you know, people go there for these retreats and stuff. So it's, yeah, it's a whole thing. And Vermont very much, I mean, I grew up with, you know, some alternate spiritual religious sort of upbringing. So it's not that I'm a naysayer or anything like that, but in terms of like truly feeling like there's a magic in some, like in an area, like Vermont is it. Like if you're in the middle of the forest in Vermont, it is absolutely like a spiritual cool experience. I mean, unless you're lost and hurt or whatever, you know, or getting mauled by a bear or something. It's actually like it's a really beautiful thing. And again, this is coming from somebody who never spent time or never wanted really to spend time in you know, in nature.
What's the bear wearing now?
What's the one?
What's the bear that's mauling me?
It's a Vermont teddy.
It's under its skirt.
But it was wearing a skirt.
Okay.
And
go on.
Man. I'll get back to you guys with more details about that, the Vermont teddy bear phone center, because I need to reconfirm and get some more details. So
okay, well,
follow-up episode, that's for the next, when you guys get back to Vermont,
Vermont part two,
I'll fill you in.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get the teddy bear hotline on the Zoom call at the same time.
Yeah.
They would probably love to talk about that. That's like an interesting angle, right? That needs to be like a vice investigation or something.
Oh my God. You're opening up a lot of doors here, man. Okay. So we are now on to the second to last section of the show, which is best state, worst state, Derek Grant of Michigan. Part-time Vermont. There you go. Thank you. My brain is obviously fried. Pound for pound, what do you think is the best state? Keep in mind, you have to weigh the good parts of it with the bad. So if you say, you know, I don't know if there's any bad parts of Vermont. I don't know. Out of my breath here, but so best state.
Best state. See, now that, okay. I lived in Chicago, I think, almost as long as I had lived in Michigan. So that's like, there's a lot of places that are very dear to my heart. So this is going to be a little tough in terms of, and of course, it doesn't have to be someplace that I lived, but it's a tough call, I think, between Chicago and Vermont, and they're so completely polar opposite of each other. But, you know, Vermont's got that sort of magic angle. And I do feel like I want to get back there at some point. I do feel like I'm going to end up there. At the call center, Vermont.
Can you imagine how hot it would be to be?
And then subsequently in jail.
And you're like, yes, no, I know. No, they are really nice panties on the bear. that's the ultimate sting, man. That's like The Departed. You're one of those bear perverts. You take a job there.
you're just along for the ride with them. Ooh, I never thought about that question.
Serious.
Okay. All right, lady, are you actually asking me about the teddy bears? Jesus. All right. Yeah, I don't know. We ship them everywhere. It's, next caller.
It's genius. I mean,
are you gonna give me a credit card number or what? Come on.
It's like becoming a priest. Anyway.
I don't know. You know, I would say overall Chicago, I just had.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Chicago's a city. You have to wait.
Illinois. No, you're right. Okay. There you go. That clear. And it's not, I wasn't thinking about the specific. No,
I'm with it.
So that being the case, and I do like a lot of places in Illinois, but I would say that, Vermont as a whole, as far as experiences that I've had, throughout a state, I would say Vermont is probably my favorite state, the best state. And it's mainly because, there's no billboard advertising, there's so much, national forest and mountains. There's ton, the terrain is all over the place. They've got all the seasons, which I think that's important, places out west that don't really have all the, the distinct seasons. I don't think I could handle that, for a long-term thing. The people in Vermont, at least most of the people that I met are just, wonderful people. And, you can kind of do whatever you want. It's a breeding ground for, eccentric, interesting people. Cause nobody really cares, you could just be whoever you want to be there. And I think that's the appeal to a lot of people.
What's that? Probably like black.
I was going to say, Vermont seems like the whitest state.
There's not a ton of diversity culturally. That would be a downside. If we're talking pros and cons, that would be definitely be a con. But that aside, it's changing. The demographic is changing a little bit. And that's cool. It was definitely when I was there, some of the towns, Burlington and some of the smaller, towns like Middlebury were sort of in this transitional state where a lot of younger people were coming in, whether they were from Vermont or, coming in from other states that were like bringing in this sort of new kind of arts, community. I mean, here's a fact. I don't know. I'm so sorry to go backwards.
Nah. But
Middlebury, I think the university in Middlebury was the birthplace of the Quidditch sport that is based on Harry Potter.
Wait, Quidditch is a real sport?
Quidditch is a real sport with real rules. And I believe I know for a fact it started in Middlebury.
Okay,
and,
hold on.
So that's a pro.
Run around with the broom?
No. What was
I told you? Well, magic.
What was first? Was Harry Potter based Quidditch on this Quidditch?
No. This is very much like
invented the Harry Potter sport for real.
How can we take what we saw in the movie and play it?
Oh, vastly dorkier.
Yeah.
No, I mean it's LARPing. It's like it's full contact LARPing.
Super white Vermont people.
No, but I'm not, honestly, I don't know much about it. So I'm not, I'm not trying to bad talk it,
I'm not trying to bad mouth it either. I'm into really dorky shit too.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't think that you can get out of the, we figured out how to play Quidditch without somebody being like very dorky.
Yeah.
Well,
at some point,
I think the Olympics would disagree.
Well, okay. With that said, Vermont, best state. Now, Derek, the fun part.
Yeah, the real fun part.
Worst state. Pound for pound. There's a lot of bad ones.
There's a lot of options. A lot of good options.
Instantly, it's a toss-up between, and I'm so sorry, I apologize to any of my friends that live there or people that, are listening. But it immediately, my mind goes to two places, and that is Nevada and Florida.
I think you got a lot of you're making a lot of sense, man.
But Nevada's got the Nevada's spread out. It's like my reasons for saying that is pretty much the Las Vegas, the greater Las Vegas area. Mm-hmm. Reno, parts of Reno.
Reno's a great time.
It's not my thing. I've never enjoyed my time in Nevada because I, especially in Las Vegas, there's nothing about it that's appealing to me. I don't gamble. I don't drink. I don't want to smoke indoors. I don't like seafood buffets. I don't like going to lavish, I don't like Carrot Top. It just doesn't have anything to offer me. So I've always been, I just want to kind of get in and get out. But Florida, I think, just a lot of uncomfortable things all over the place in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Florida's kind of obvious.
But Florida's got some beautiful coastline and stuff like that. And like, you know, I've had good times with you in Vegas, man. And that's even in like the absolute butthole of the entire state.
Sure.
So like, I'm not trying to like push you back on your heels on this. I think that you've got some good choices. You are going to have to make one final choice, of course, because that's the way the game works. But, you know, there's good things about both. And like the Nevada desert is like really kind of beautiful. And like with the like Saguaro cactuses and shit like that, like out there.
Yeah, no, that's what the point I was trying to make is, I guess, just in terms of concentration of maybe bad experiences or just aspects that I don't like, you know, when you take, the ratio of, you know, areas that I've been in Nevada to, you know, that the size of the state is relatively small, whereas I've been all over Florida.
Okay.
And had all weird experiences and some of them are great stories.
Go ahead. Anyone here name a city in Nevada that's not Las Vegas or Reno?
Elko, Winnemucca.
All right. Fancy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, and there's nice places. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's decent towns and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I had good experiences in Nevada as well. So I'm not trying to bag on it.
Okay, so.
But if this was just purely what's the least appealing place, what's the place that I'm the least.
You don't want to go there. There's
that I would be fine if I never went there again.
Yeah,
it would be Nevada, I think.
Cool. That's a good way to look at it.
So let's just do that.
Okay, great.
And I'm sorry.
Oh no. You're great. Do you want to know what the show has a standing take on this?
Sure.
Yeah, we both agree is basically the thing. And just in case it changes your opinion at all, because I think it's an oft overlooked.
Yeah, especially if you live in Chicago.
Absolutely the worst state in the world. Indiana.
Well, I lived in Indiana for a while. So yeah, I don't know. No, I disagree.
Okay.
As much as I hate when I'm driving back and forth between, you know, say Chicago and Detroit, that is maybe the most least pleasant part of the drive is right at the north end of Indiana there. There's some sketchy places in Indiana, but I don't know. I met nice people there. I had a nice experience there.
Okay.
So you know what? Fuck you guys.
Nevada is
I'm out of here.
And now I'm kind of like being like,
I'd rather live in Nevada than Indiana.
I'd rather die in Nevada than live in Indiana. I mean, okay. So Derek, we are onto the last part, which is where we do the random state generator to figure out what we're going to talk about next. And nice. If you would be so kind as to read it off of Marty's phone when he generates the state.
What are you using to generate this? Is there a?
It's a random state generator app or like a website.
I thought maybe you guys had, you know, came up with this. Developed this.
We've got proprietary software.
You just get some dice.
Yeah, we coded it.
Get some,
website. 1995. Dice. All right. I just pressed it. Oh, God.
What do we got? I can't see anything. No shit. It's Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Well, shit. Someone's going to have a good time convincing us.
You know what? You guys deserve it. You fucking deserve it.
Indiana rules, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. Indiana it is.
Well,
I'm fucking excited. I think that on behalf of my boss, Matt Marty, and our guest, Derek Grant. Well, thank you, Derek.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
And we'll see you next time for a little more. Oof. They Come to America.
They Come to Indiana coming up next. It's been good talking to you. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes.
And thanks everything to all the listeners out there, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, bye.